are boasting, the lion as the king. But today with faith, the Israelites are bound to win. I know that children are depending on me to prove that good will see victory. On to battle we go, to rule with authority. Oh, Brother David, I want to be like you. Show the world what Yahweh Jehovah can do, yeah. The enemies are coming, the Philistines are up and over. Victory is a moment, let's put Goliath in the dust, yeah. Oh, Brother David, I want to be like you. To show the world what Yahweh Jehovah can do. Brother David, I want to be like you, to show the world what Yahweh Jehovah can do. Brother David, I want to be like you, to show the Philistines what Yahweh Jah can do, Lord. Oh, Brother David, I want to be like you, to show the world what Yahweh Jah over can do, yeah. Brother David, with faith this master see. Can move mountains only if we believe.
We can move mountains if we only believe. This is Julie Matthews with Healthful Living, and you are listening to KPOO San Francisco 89.5 FM. I am here with my co-host, Martin Matthews.
I'm a certified clinical and medical hypnotherapist with Healthful Living, and this is Reality Sandwich, where every Thursday at noon we serve up a palatable taste of the truth.
And today, as usual, we have a wonderful guest on. We've actually had this guest on a few other times because she has such important and relevant information that we would love to get out there as much as possible to the mainstream and everybody that might be listening. This is relevant to everyone. We are going to be talking to Jane Hersey, who is the director of the Feingold Association, and we're going to be talking once again about artificial ingredients and additives and preservatives. And in the past, we've talked about aggression and prisons and how these artificial ingredients can have a very negative impact on behavior. We've talked about them in terms of migraines and headaches and pain and other health-related conditions. And then, of course, we have talked about them more than once in relationship to children and hyperactivity and aggression and irritability and all of those types of symptoms that can come along with these artificial ingredients.
Well, and today we'll be speaking particularly about children and the effect of all these ingredients on children's behavior. There's been a couple of studies out recently, and of course, as we all know, this upcoming Sunday is a day where traditionally Americans feed their kids all kinds of junky stuff.
It's like, it's one of, well, I don't know, is it one of the junkiest holidays? Next to Halloween, maybe? I mean, well, you know what's my mom's favorite Easter treat?
Peeps.
Martin was horrified when he realized that every year my mom buys Peeps. And if you don't know what they are marshmallow-shaped chicks and things.
Gelatinous, gooey, sugary, artery-clogging things.
Well, it gets worse than that because then it's covered in artificially colored sugar, like yellow or pink or something. And so I never even liked the stupid things, but for whatever reason, she would always get them. And of course, as a kid, I would always eat them. So thank goodness we don't have Peeps in our life anymore, but we're going to be talking about all of those Easter candies and other just foods that we, believe it or not, many people eat every day that are full of all sorts of these artificial colors, additives, preservatives.
And the wildly curious thing is that still most people either deny or just, you know, ignore, don't make note of the blatant connection between all this stuff, the ingredients, these unidentified colorful ingredients with no odd numbers and things associated with them, and our health and our behavior. And I just want to note that this observation is what goes right back to the origin of your nutrition career, right, Julie? I mean, it was these curiosities that initially led you to want to study nutrition and then led you on your path, of course, now to be focused on nutrition and diet for autism.
Absolutely.
Should we see if Jane's on the line?
Yeah, let's see if she is there. Hold on one second. Jane, are you with us?
I sure am.
Hello, good to talk to you again.
Oh, it's wonderful to be here. And you're right, the holidays coming up, the fluorescent candy, and oh boy, there are going to be a lot of bouncy little kids Sunday afternoon and for the rest of the week.
So what can you tell us about... but I guess there's some new studies that have come out recently that are really exciting. I actually have one of them up on my blog because I found it so really interesting, not only what they found, but what actually some of the researchers actually admitted, which you are in. And actually, it wasn't even the researchers. So there was some of the medical professionals are actually starting to listen to some of these studies, and that's been part of the interesting part. So do you want to tell us a little bit about what's been finally being...
Sure, I'd be happy to. It's been more than 30 years since Dr. Feingold addressed the American Academy of Pediatrics and shared with them the many successes that he had by helping families of children who today would be called ADHD. And he found that just making some simple changes in their diet, and you know, Julie, not even cutting out the candy, but replacing the artificially colored candy with naturally colored candy. That's one of the things I love about the Feingold program, that you don't have to give up anything. You just switch to a different version of the same thing. But back to the American Academy, many doctors have denied the idea that eating these additives could possibly affect your behavior. And you and Martin talked about, you know, what are these chemicals? Well, most of them come from petroleum. And as a matter of fact, when you look at the back of a package, go look at the jelly beans or the gummy bears or whatever the child's basket is filled with, and you will see colors followed by numbers. You'll see yellow 5, red 40, blue 1. These tell you that these are synthetic dyes, and guess what? Most of them today originate in petroleum refineries in China. This is where those colors, the peeps and all that stuff, most of them, I think only one-fourth of the dyes are still made in the U.S., so they're eating these petrochemicals, and is it any wonder that different people have varying different reactions to them? So anyway, as a result of some of the most recent studies, one was a meta-analysis of 15 studies on dyes and hyperactivity, and the researchers from Harvard and Columbia said, these studies do show a clear link between children eating these additives and ADHD behavior. And then the newest study, this is one that was published in The Lancet, in September, was a study from England, from the University of Southampton, where children who were both ADHD and non-ADHD, or as I call them, regular kids, were given a very modest amount of food dye and one preservative, sodium benzoate, in their drinks. And nobody knew which drinks had the dye and which were real fruit juice, etc. And what they found was even children with no behavior problems did have more hyperactivity, more attention problems when they ate these things. So finally, after these recent studies as well as dozens of other studies over the years, finally the American Academy said, you know, a trial of a preservative-free, coloring-free diet is a reasonable intervention. And what really just shocked me was I read the quote, "We might have been wrong."
Ah, I love that.
And when I looked out the window, I saw pigs flying by. So this was very exciting news in Feingold land. And, you know, if anybody ever did a study on the actual amount of dyes that a typical American child eats in a day, I think they would be astonished because the typical American child does not consume 25 milligrams or 62 milligrams. The typical American child consumes hundreds of hundreds of these. You can easily get 500 milligrams of dye if you go to, a birthday party or an Easter basket. I mean, they're loaded with this stuff.
Wow. So for people that might just be tuning in and they're not aware, there's a wonderful organization that Jane is, you're the founder of, correct?
No, I'm just one of many.
Okay, so you're
the
current director.
I'm the national director now.
Great. So you can go to, there's two websites, there's ADDDiet.com and then there's also FineGold, which is FineGold.org.
Right.
And, you know, it's a wonderful association to get connected with because that's how I first heard about these new studies that were out. And I wanted to read a little bit from the American Academy of Pediatrics in their issue 2008 in February of their, they have a publication called the AAP Grand Rounds, and they say, despite increasing data supporting the efficacy of stimulants in preschoolers with attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, parents and providers understandably seek safe and effective interventions that require no prescription. A recent meta-analysis of 15 trials concluded that there is, quote, accumulating evidence that neurobehavioral toxicity may characterize a variety of widely distributed chemicals. Some children may be more sensitive to the effects of these chemicals, and the authors suggest there is a need to better identify responders. In real life, practitioners faced with hyperactive preschoolers have a reasonable option to offer parents. For the child without a medical, emotional, or environmental etiology for ADHD behaviors, a trial of a preservative-free, food coloring-free diet is a reasonable intervention. Wow, this is, I mean, it seems so basic to some of us, but this is really earth-shattering information, really, or statement.
It is. And you know what I wish they would look at in addition to the studies that show the damage, the behavioral problems that can come about as a result of children eating these? I wish they would look at the other studies because these dyes have been shown to cause so many health effects, DNA damage, asthma, hives, respiratory problems of all types, not just asthma. They are estrogen mimics. They are known to cause reproductive damage. Some are carcinogens. And when a researcher in England combined two additives, he found that the effects, the damaging effects, were multiplied. When he studied the effect on nerve cells of two additives, blue dye and monosodium glutamate, the damage to the nerve cells was four times as great as when he used a single additive alone. Then, when he combined yellow dye and aspartame, the damage to nerve cells was seven times as great.
Wow.
Now, when you study dyes, now the Southampton study did have a mixture of them, but if you were to look at a typical breakfast cereal or a bag of candies or whatever, children are eating a combination of so many different chemicals, and who knows, you know, how many times the damage is multiplied when you have so many chemicals eaten together. Nobody's looked at that.
And you had told us once in the past that some of these additives can, like, let's say artificial strawberry flavoring, might alone itself have 5 or 10 or dozens even, right, of some of these chemicals?
Or hundreds. And not only that, but people think, well, aren't they regulated by the FDA? No, they aren't, because food manufacturers are allowed to basically put any chemical in a food and call it an artificial flavoring. And not only does the FDA not monitor this or study this, but they don't even know what is in the food, and the companies are not required to tell them. So, you know, to me, it just seems kind of crazy. Now you can buy, if you want to buy jelly beans for your kids, you can buy all-natural jelly beans. If you want to buy a chocolate bunny, there are all-natural bunnies. Whatever it is that you normally would give your child, whether it's for Easter or whether it's his medicine or his toothpaste or his breakfast cereal, you can find what you want in a version without petroleum. And I really don't see any particular reason why I would want to eat petroleum.
Right, especially since they taste worse anyways. The natural stuff tastes so much better.
It really does. You know, a lot of people have this image that if they eat, quote, healthy foods, they're not going to like the taste of it. You know, they have this image of this harsh, terrible tasting gray food. And the truth is that the Feingold program really is not about health food. The Feingold program is about food that is a lot closer to gourmet food.
Mm-hmm.
Because when I buy chocolate without the fake vanilla, which, by the way, can come from petroleum. It can also come from the waste products of paper mills. Sulfite liquor, isn't that yummy?
Ugh.
So, I mean, if the label told you, okay, here's a chocolate bar with pure vanilla extract that's derived from the vanilla beans, etc., or you can have this other chocolate bar for the same price, or more, that has the waste products of paper mills. Well, you know, if the consumers actually knew, I think it would be a pretty simple choice.
Wow. Well, you know, the thing that drives me crazy is there is a very famous, very high-end candy company that begins with a G.
I think I know.
And ends with an A. It's got a D and a V in there somewhere, maybe.
That's correct.
And they use, I mean, this is high-end, like, what, $20, $30 a pound?
Oh, no, 40.
40.
Because I recently checked. I thought, you know, I wonder if there's been any change since the last time.
Yeah.
No, it's $40, and depending on what you buy, yeah. And yet, I can go into a discount store or any supermarket and buy pure natural chocolate without fake vanilla. And one of the sad things about this company to which we're alluding is that years ago, their products used to be natural.
Yes.
And it was a big treat. You know, if I wanted to get a really big treat for my children, we were out shopping, we would go to the candy counter at the department store, and I'd let them each pick one. Of course, I had to have one, too, naturally.
Of course.
and they could pick one of these, you know, expensive candy. I think they were a dollar a piece.
Right.
But, you know, unfortunately, the companies, food companies, they are a business, and they look upon any cost savings as a positive thing. Now, there are companies who really have high ethics. But
sure.
For most companies, you know, the budget crunchers, the numbers crunchers tend to prevail. And if they can save money, and believe me, you save a lot of money using fake vanilla over real vanilla if you use it in huge quantity. If they can save money, or if the soft drink companies, when they switched from sugar to corn syrup and then from corn syrup to high fructose corn syrup, the amount that they save on each can or bottle is maybe a cent or less. But when you sell enormous quantities, that really adds up. And that's what business is. Business is about making money. So what I like to do is give the consumers the inside information that they need so that they can find the best food at the best prices.
Right. So I wanted to go into one of these the other comments that was made in this report by the General Rounds thing for the AAP. They also this is my favorite one, and you already mentioned part of it. The editor's note states, although quite complicated, this was a carefully conducted study in which the investigators went to great lengths to eliminate bias and to rigorously measure outcomes. In each case, increased hyperactivity were associated with the food additive drink in virtually every assessment. Thus, the overall finding of the study are clear and require even we skeptics who have long doubted parental claims of effects of various foods on the behavior of their children admit we might have been wrong.
And then the pig flew by. I know. I really have to admire somebody who can say that. I appreciate it. However, my gratitude is tempered by the fact that for 30 years, children have suffered and their families have suffered. And this didn't have to be. You know, I think, Julie, that one of the things that bothers me as a mom is when any professional implies that I don't know anything about my kids. And, boy, I know a lot about my kids. Yes, they're grown now, but I still know a whole lot about them. And to overlook something as important as a parent's observation. And what I think is sad but funny is those members those families who are members, where the husband or wife is a doctor themselves, receive the same kind of lack of support and interest from their own doctors. So, nobody really is immune to this.
No, right, right. Yeah, and I had a client actually yesterday who, you know, it was a client with autism, and we were dealing more with the wheat and the dairy issue. But
right. But
she went to her pediatrician, and she was saying, you know, asking some questions. And the pediatrician said, "Oh no, this food has nothing to do. You know, parents with children with autism, they'll grasp at anything, but there's nothing to it." And then the mom said, "Well, I implemented a gluten and casein-free diet, and my child went from being nonverbal to starting to talk."
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the mom was, and I was too, proud that she just stood up. Because
they
make you feel like you're stupid and that this is not possibly true and that you're going crazy or you're a bad mom or you're just, you know, whatever.
Right. And they say this from, well, they don't even have documentation to support their opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if a doctor said, you know, had a statement like that, and he had really good studies in his files that supported his opinion, I would respect that.
Mm-hmm.
But when you just write off the, you know, the cuff, you say, "Oh no, it couldn't possibly happen." I was talking to an elderly lady yesterday who had a horrible reaction to some new drug that her doctor gave her, and she was dizzy, and she had all these things. And she asked the doctor if it could be a side effect of the drug. And he said, "Oh, no, of course not." Well, just go to the physician's desk reference. Just go online to the resources that tell you all the side effects of drugs. Drugs have loads of side effects.
Mm-hmm.
And to brush her off and say, you know, say that she didn't know what she was talking about is just crazy. Now, I don't think that every statement every parent makes should be given, you know, enormous amount of weight. But as you well know, as an authority on helping autistic children, when it's hundreds and then thousands of parents saying the same thing, I'm not saying they should accept it. I'm just saying they should keep an open mind and look at it.
Yes, exactly. Exactly what everyone else is wanting.
Right.
Just because we need to research it. So
Absolutely. If
you dismiss it as crazy talk without even looking at it, who's...
Absolutely.
I don't mean to say, but who's the crazy one, right? We
got to,
you know...
I can't disagree with you there. Yeah, and then another thing that I think is kind of funny but tragic, and that is after the parent has changed the child's diet or implemented the many alternative therapies, because there are loads of good things to do, as you well know, to help these children. After the parent has succeeded and the child is now functioning well, what does the doctor say? "Oh, well, it was a misdiagnosis."
Right.
Well, wait a minute. One of our moms, her child is grown now. He's married and has his own child. And he had all the autistic symptoms. And the mother had been taking him to a clinic for autistic children. And she had heard about the Feingold diet, and she started using it. And the next time she brought Logan back, she was waiting in the waiting room, and the doctor came out, and he was mad. He said, "You brought the wrong kid. Bring the autistic one." And when she tried to tell him, you know, all she had, it was the same child. She had just changed his diet, and of course, the doctor dismissed her. What could she possibly know? She's just a nurse, you know.
Right. Oh boy!
But it's wonderful that there are ways to help these children.
Yes.
And, you know, what we love to do at Feingold is we try to make it all really, really easy. Many of our members are going to gluten and casein-free diets because their children do have symptoms of autism. And you know, we think that's a great idea. But, you know, Julie, just between you and me, I worry a little that gluten-free, casein-free is becoming kind of a cool thing to recommend.
Mm.
And that I worry about doctors recommending it too freely when maybe a simpler alternative, you know, is good to start out with.
Yeah, I mean, to me, one of the first things I always recommend is get the artificial junk out. Like you said, it's the simplest thing, and it's the most likely, but since it's so artificial, to be something causing big problems.
Yeah.
Then when you get a new kind of homeostasis point, then
right.
you can figure out, do you need to take it to
right.
the next level? What symptoms are still going on? Because
right.
there was also a study out talking about children with autism and having calcium and nutrient deficiencies,
yeah.
both in general. So kids with autism, just because of gut issues and all sorts of other things right. tend to have nutrient deficiencies to begin with, and then you right. take out entire food groups yeah. and you can end up with bigger deficiencies. However, it doesn't mean not to do it. It just yeah. means, you know, work with somebody, know how to do the diet, and, yeah. you know, because you can have a junky gluten and casein free diet too.
Right. So, right. Yeah, this is, we really are right on the same page there, because we think, you know, let's not make anything any more complicated than you absolutely have to. And unless you have a really compelling reason, don't make the diet that hard. Start with something simple. Actually, starting with something like omega-3s or supplements are probably even easier mm-hmm. than the Feingold program. But by taking out chemicals that shouldn't be in our food in the first place.
Right.
I mean, let's face it. Who needs to eat petroleum? That's such a simple thing, and it's an easy first step.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing that got me thinking along this line was a mom who called, and she had been doing gluten-free, casein-free for a couple of years, and her children were doing great. However, they really didn't have symptoms of autism. And I think what happened was, when you go gluten-free, casein-free, you pretty much are going to eliminate the additives automatically.
Right, right. Because those people, you know, when they look in the food allergy world and the people that are going to mm-hmm. be taking the gluten or the wheat or whatever out, those
right.
are also people that are going to be the most highly sensitive to all
absolutely.
The artificial stuff, too. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Usually you benefit
and,
that way.
And exactly. And we also find a similar thing when people think that sugar is the culprit and they don't realize
mm-hmm.
that it's probably not so much the sugar as it would be the colors and flavors in the sugary foods. So people say, well, when we cut out sugar, my child improved. But by sugar, they're talking about foods with sugar, artificial colors, flavors, preservatives.
Right.
So what we say is let's take out the worst stuff first. That's why we don't ask people to give up jelly beans or candy canes or lollipops. We ask them just to switch over, make a simple switch from the one with the petroleum-based dye to the one with the natural dye.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if they want to go further, that's wonderful. If they want to make their diet increasingly healthier, that's great. But we don't believe in making it overwhelming for somebody new at this.
Right, right. You can definitely step your way into it.
Yeah.
So in consideration yeah. of Easter, what are some of those big offenders out there, that big red flag that people should be really aware of?
Yeah, Martin, it's the red flag and the pink and the green. Yes, here's a really simple tip for anybody. Flip the package over, whether it's jelly beans or macaroni and cheese mix or whatever it is. Flip the package over and look at the ingredients. Now, you may need to bring your reading glasses because chances are it's going to be teeny-weeny print. The first thing you'll notice is whether the ingredient list is super-duper long or whether it consists of maybe three or four ingredients. Now, there's no absolute guarantee here, but the longer the list, the greater the chances are that it's going to be just loaded with junk. So that's one thing to look at. Another thing is, while you're reading the ingredient list, if you find yourself dozing off when you're halfway through, that's a tip up. But really, the most important thing is this. When you glance at an ingredient list, look for the name of a color followed by a number. Look for something like red followed by the number 40, yellow 5, blue 1, etc. Now, the good news is that the dyes are so bad that most of them have been banned. So there are only a couple that are still left, but they're terrible. So when you see a color followed by a number, you know that that's a petroleum-based dye, and you want to put it back. Then when you see the word vanillin, now that's what you'll find on most, well, I won't say most, many, many chocolates.
Mm-hmm.
Vanillin, the I-N tells you it's fake. Now, I think the industry likes the fact that the name is very similar to vanilla because a lot of people won't notice.
Mm-hmm.
So if you see vanillin or the words artificial or the word imitation, then that will tell you, too, to stay away from it. Now, I've told you what to stay away from, but let's say that you want to give your kids some jelly beans or lollipops or candies for their Easter basket. Of course, it would be a good idea to mix some non-foods and little trinkets in with it so it's not just wall-to-wall sugars.
Mm.
But what you can do is you have a couple of options. supposing you have a natural foods market nearby, hey, then you're in really good shape. And if you don't have that, a good health food store also, excellent, excellent option. If you don't have either of those things, go to a supermarket, and if you happen to have an upscale supermarket nearby, chances are they're going to have more of this. But almost any supermarket nowadays will have a little section devoted to what they call healthy foods or health foods. Of course, that does raise the question, if that's the little section with the healthy foods, what's the rest of it?
Right.
But anyway, go there. And even discount stores, Walmart and Target, have natural candies. Look for things. If you want chocolates, Ghirardelli has, not all of them are natural, but Ghirardelli has some basic dark chocolate, milk chocolate that would be fine. Look in the natural food section. Look for candies without vanillin and without the dyes. And, you know, you could even just go to the baking section and get some sweetened chocolate, if that's what you want to use, and or get some natural chocolate chips. Take them home, melt them over a very, very slow heat, and watch it like a hawk, because burnt chocolate smells horrible. Anyway, melt them carefully. Throw in some nuts or some dried fruits or some cereal. Puff cereal is good. Scoop out the chocolate with all this mixture, drop it on top of a piece of wax paper, let it harden, and you've got all natural candy, and it's not $40 a pound. So you can do all of these things and have a wonderful Easter, and your kids can have fun without having the reaction that they're going to have of going wild after they've eaten it.
I would think it would be even fun to participate as kids to make those chocolates or those candies. You know, boy, I can imagine having, you know, little bowls of coconut and nuts and fruit and, ooh, I'll make this one. Martin and I like to make good quality cookies, and we get the same kind of thing, and we'll make one cookie, and we'll put all these things in it, and we'll, you know, and so it's fun to, I would think that alone would be a fun thing for a child that that they would be more than happy to.
Absolutely. And you know what else you can do? You can take pretzels and dip them in chocolate. You can put cookies or even crackers in. I mean, if you ask me, anything tastes good with chocolate.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, absolutely. What people don't realize is there are so many options. And if they don't mind doing a little bit of preparation at home, they can not only come out with high-quality food, but they can save money. And when you're doing the cookies, you probably already know about the natural sprinkles. There are colored sprinkles with rather pretty bright colors. The larger health food or natural food stores will sell them. There's information on the Feingold website. Actually, we have a slightly new name for our website, ADHDdiet.org.
Okay.
We keep playing around with the names of our website, ADHDdiet.org. And that will tell you more about the many, many products out there. You know, Julie, I used to tell people years ago that on the Feingold diet I could find pretty much anything except marshmallows and jelly beans that were all natural. But I can't say that anymore, because they're all out there. This Christmas we had beautiful red and white striped candy canes that if you didn't know which one was natural, you really wouldn't be able to tell the difference.
Wow, wow.
It's amazing how far we've come.
So, Jane, I want to ask you, you know, sometimes parents will say, oh, I want to do this. I want my kid to cut back on this stuff, but they're not going to. So, and then I wonder, well, you know, if the children heard this information, you know, maybe they would, you know, opt in themselves to wanting to be a bit more. So have you had some experience with, and what's your experience with actually having kids learn this and being proactive themselves to choose healthier options?
That's a really good question, because I think it's one of the first things I would have asked were that, oh, my goodness, my child is so unreasonable. She'll never do this. What we have actually found is the more severe the child's symptoms, the easier it is to get them to stay on the program. I remember years ago the quote from one 11-year-old, and he said, well, you know, you think I'd stay on the stupid diet if it wasn't effective? So once in a while they grumble just a little bit. But basically we really don't have a big problem. And part of the reason why we have a support group and why we've been doing this for, over 30 years is that we know the ways around this, and we share that with parents. For example, what I tell parents, in fact, I just told this to a woman the other day, I said, you know, if we were starting out on the Fine Gold program today, the first thing I would do would be to go to Whole Foods, to their bakery section, and I would buy the biggest, gunkiest, most luscious chocolate cake I could find, and bring it home and say to my family, we're on the Fine Gold diet, so this is what we're going to have for dessert. So what, you know, sometimes we irritate purists because we will say to parents, be very free and liberal at the beginning because you don't want your child to get the message that you're taking away any favorite foods. So a lot of times parents who had been a lot more careful about what they let their kids eat will let their hair down at the beginning, and they'll bring in the chips, and they'll bring in the natural Cheetos and the soft drinks and stuff like that, because what you want to do is just give your child a period of a couple, sometimes it only takes a couple days to a week, or maybe a couple weeks, where you can try out what it's like to eat the foods and use the products without these additives. Once the child experiences the change, you're home free. Mm-hmm. You don't even have to worry about it, because not only are the kids, particularly the kids who have had these problems, they are so motivated to want to not have learning problems, to not get in trouble at school, to not be always scolded at home. These are smart kids, and when they make the connection, it just isn't an issue. And I know people don't believe it, and I wouldn't have either, but we have three-year-olds turning down lollipops routinely. And why shouldn't they turn them down? Because mom will give them one in its place, you know, mm-hmm. which is fine. But please let me share my favorite story about this. And as I said, I want to emphasize that the people who are more likely to cheat are the adults, not the children. But anyway, mom was at a great big toy store, and they had kiosks, and this one kiosk was loaded, heaped up with candies. Now, any Fine Gold mom, when she goes past new products, will stop and turn it over and look at ingredients. I mean, we all do that. Mm-hmm. So the mom was there with a five-year-old, and she stopped at the kiosk and started looking at the candy, and the little girl walked a little ahead and realized her mom wasn't with her. She turned around, looked at her, put her hands on her hips and said, Mama, don't even think about it. So the kids become really, really dedicated to doing this mm-hmm. because they like the way they feel.
Yes, yes.
And, you know, they don't have to give up anything, so why should they worry? And as a matter of fact, they tend to be the kids who will say to their classmates, you know, you really shouldn't eat that green cupcake.
Right.
It isn't good for you.
Well, it's so empowering for them to realize the result of their personal choice.
Absolutely.
About what they put into their body. Because I've always thought of diet as being choice. You know, mm-hmm. if you're on a diet, meaning we all have a diet, meaning the aggregation
right.
of whatever it is we're putting in our bodies.
Right.
But to be a choice about that is to be, you know, particular and intentional about your diet, and to not be on a diet implies you're just being indiscriminate. So,
yeah, that's a good point.
So therefore, and it also implies that those things would normally be on the realm of okay,
mm-hmm.
right? But mm-hmm. but for me, red dye number 40 is not on the normal realm of okay. So therefore, for me to naturally avoid that, I guess then am I on a diet? Which means
you
I'm
know,
a choice.
Yeah. You know, Martin, that's a very good point because, in my opinion, I agree with you totally. When you eat yellow 5, red 40, I mean, this is not food.
Mm.
And
mm-hmm.
in my opinion, I mean, I don't eat petroleum. I don't eat dirt. I don't eat, you know, I don't eat things like this. Anyway, I don't think I'm on a special diet. I just eat food.
Mm-hmm.
I think most of the country is on a special diet of eating petroleum.
Mm-hmm.
But they're not going to find that in the ingredient label. It isn't going to say petroleum. So, yes, we're delighted when new studies come out that support this. But really, I think the wrong question is being answered. Instead of saying, well, why should I cut out yellow dye, red dye, MSG, etc., the question should be, why should I eat them?
Mm-hmm.
And I can think of a whole lot of reasons why I should not eat, let's say, yellow 5. I mean, all the physical damage, the behavioral problems, the respiratory problems, all of those problems that are associated with, I can think of a lot of reasons why I should avoid it, but I really can't think of one good reason why I should eat it.
Yeah, it's almost a strange argument to try to argue for why these toxic things might be safe or why we should continue to eat them. And I have to say, it's a lot easier when let's say someone's on a diet and let's say that they're trying to avoid, I don't know, brownies and sugar or something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's this like not all or nothing. So every time a decision comes up, it's a torturous decision. Should I eat the brownie? Should I exercise after I do? But when you come with something like artificial ingredients, for me, that and trans fats, There is no choice. There is no exception. I'm not going to do it. It doesn't even enter into my realm of possibility because they're so bad.
It doesn't appeal to you. Your taste buds are not turned on at all by that sort of thing.
Right. And then it doesn't become a torturous decision every time. It's just like that little five-year-old. Like, don't even think about it. It's not even in our realm of possibility.
Yes. Now, you're absolutely right. I will say, however, that one of the interesting things about our program is that people appear to be highly sensitive at the very beginning of the program, and then gradually, over a period of time, as they stay away from eating this awful stuff, or what the British like to call the artificial nasties, don't you love that? As they stay away from these things, their sensitivity diminishes so that if they do accidentally or even intentionally eat something and they haven't had artificial colors or flavors for a long time, they might see no reaction at all. And we also, in my book, I have a book called Why Can't My Child Behave? And in our material that we provide to families and our program material, we talk about planned cheats. Let's say your child wants to, he feels restless, he wants to eat the purple ketchup that the other kids are eating and stuff like that. We are not an all-or-nothing group. We say, okay, here's some suggestions about how to go about doing it. Try to limit it to Friday afternoon so that by Monday when school starts again, you know, it'll be cleared out of his system. There are a lot of options. And once the child, even a fairly young child, understands the connection, we encourage parents to step back and leave it up to the child.
Mm-hmm.
If he wants to eat that, that's his choice. However, he's going to have the consequences.
Right. And then I'm guessing you've had experience where they've noticed and they've been able to see what these artificial ingredients do?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. In fact, one little boy wrote a paper. It was an assignment for school, and it was his most embarrassing moment. And he talked about how he couldn't control his body when he was on stage and presenting some little event, and how embarrassing it was. He saw it on the videotape because his parents had taped it. And, these kids do not like to feel that way. And, you know, another side benefit that we didn't realize in the early years was the child on the Feingold program is typically a child who has been out of control in the past. He has not really had control over his own body, and he hates it. And when he understands that just by making some simple changes in what type of food he eats and eating brand A instead of brand B, that he can be in control and he can feel good and succeed, then when the children get to be teenagers and some of their friends deliberately want to go out of control with drugs or whatever, these kids don't like it. They've been there. And we tend not to have an issue with drugs with kids who grew up on the Feingold diet. One mother started to have the drug talk with her daughter, and the girl said, "Mom, you know what a lifesaver does to me. You think I'm much wrong with that stuff?" So I think that must be, you know, what's going on. Kids don't like feeling that way, and when they understand that they have choices, they tend to stick with it. Now, if they don't stick with it and they have a bad day, one boy, because he decided not to stay on his diet, his baseball team lost the championship. And believe me, he never forgot that.
Right.
So, Jane, I really wanted to drill home here in the last few minutes, this reality sandwich, palatable taste of the truth point. about these artificial ingredients. I mean, here we are a few days after a lot of the country artificially colored things green, from pancakes to beer, and on St. Patrick's Day, and a few days before Easter where we have rainbow-colored stuff. And we were talking about how the FDA doesn't really screen these numbered things, and we mentioned particularly red number 40. So what happened to 1 through 39?
That's a very good question. Well, actually, 1 and 2 are gone. They there have been many, many dyes that have either been the company has dropped them because for whatever reason they didn't need them, or many, many of them have been banned as health hazards. And that's a very good question. Between 1 and 40, the only other red dye that's allowed in food is red number 3. So you're down to 2 red dyes. Now, interesting thing about red number 3, it actually is supposed to be banned. It's really illegal because it is a known carcinogen. It was found to cause cancer in test animals. And the FDA years ago tried to ban it. Now, and I did not make a mistake. The FDA tried and failed. not able to ban red number 3 because the FDA parent agency, Health and Human Services, kept blocking it and blocking it. Now, all of this happened in the early 1980s, and unfortunately, the these agencies like Health and Human Services are, the head of these agencies are political appointees. And politics will always trump science, I have concluded, because when President Reagan came in, he pretty much took over the authority to make scientific decisions. Previous administrations had pretty much left it up to the Food and Drug Administration. But in 1981, things changed, and everything that the FDA wanted to do had to go through Health and Human Services and through their political appointee. And she managed to block all sorts of things. So red number 3 actually is banned from use in a few things, like the wax coatings on cheese, but is allowed to be put in food. So, yeah, go figure.
Is this the maraschino cherry red dye?
Yes, but it's the dye used to dye maraschino cherries in fruit cocktail, okay? The maraschino cherries that come in a jar typically are dyed with red 40. But the The maraschino cherries in the fruit cocktail, red 3 is the only dye that will not bleed off onto the other fruit. Now, you know, this is between you and me. Is this really that important?
No.
But anyway, to the fruit cocktail people, it was a very major deal. And so red 3, despite the fact that it was found to cause thyroid cancer, and despite the fact that that's not legally supposed to be in food, is still in food many, many, many years later. And you want to know something even more shocking?
Mm.
Those dyes that have been banned from food are allowed to be put in medicines and cosmetics. So you take a sick child, because the children get all these dyes and medicines. They're loaded with. You have a sick child who is given a medicine that's colored with a dye that's illegal to put in food.
And highly toxic.
Oh, yes. Petroleum from China. Yummy.
I mean, I don't even understand how any human being could consider that as a reasonable choice.
I have no idea. And why do they put it in? Is it essential? you know, it's really crazy. Does the child's medicine have to be neon pink and tutti frutti flavor or bubblegum flavor? You know, that flavor does not come from a bubblegum tree.
No, and it's gross to begin with. Like, that grape flavor tastes nothing like grape to me. And that bubblegum flavor, it's just bleh. You know?
It's ridiculous. And the argument in the past was you have to put dye in medicine so that you can tell one apart from the other. But today, the same drug can be made in many different colors and sizes and shapes. I mean, there really is no good argument for it. And who is more vulnerable? Well, a child is extremely vulnerable, but what about a sick child?
Mm-hmm.
And why would you give this stuff to a sick child? So here again, the support group that we have shows parents how you can get around that.
Mm-hmm.
If your child needs medicine, how to find either a compounding pharmacist, or sometimes it's as simple as getting the same medicine in a different dosage. So if your doctor prescribes a 10 milligram and the 10 milligram is pink and the 5 milligram is white, see if you can just use 2 of the 5 milligram. Mm. It can be a very simple matter.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But you know what, Julie? Once our kids get on Feingold, they tend not to get sick very much.
Well,
so it doesn't become really a big issue.
That makes a lot of sense. And one thing before we go, too, there was in January 2008 a report of the British Associate Parliamental Food and Health Forum, and this is actually an interesting report. I just wanted to read a couple findings from this 44-page report that people can find on your website.
Uh-huh.
And they have a quote, "The scanty training for general practitioners and other medical professionals in nutrition and in diet detracts from their ability to support their parents' physical and mental health. This issue, or their patients.
Uh-huh.
This issue should be addressed by the Royal Medical Colleges and the General Medical Council if we are to tackle the problems and costs associated with mental as well as physical ill health." And they go on to say, "We recommend that the Royal Medical Colleges consider upgrading the role of nutrition in the medical curriculum." And then the other one I find interesting, "We recommend that regulations should be introduced to prohibit all artificial colors and non-essential preservatives in food products and soft drinks." And it goes on for 44 pages of comments like this. Really?
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Yeah, the British are so far ahead of us, and in England, the major supermarkets are removing the artificial colors and flavors from their house brand foods. Three major candy companies are getting rid of the artificial color flavors for their candy in England, but not in the United States, okay? Go figure. And you know, I never mentioned something that I really would like to tell you about. We have new information on a website that is school-lunch.org, school-lunch.org. And if people want a really quickie introduction to this whole topic, we have an introductory slideshow on school-lunch.org, and it will shock you what they are feeding our children in schools. There's a cheese quesadilla that has an ingredient, which is the main ingredient in Silly Putty.
Huh?
And I kid you not, this is in their cheese quesadilla.
Oh!
Polydimethyl siloxane is the major ingredient in Silly Putty, and you'll find it all at the school lunch website.
It's
a shocker.
Wow. Well, Jane, thank you for being with us again, as usual. It's always an exciting and fun time.
Well, I am so grateful that you allow us this opportunity to share our information, because I know what it felt like when I went through this.
Mm.
And it wasn't, you know, people don't have to go through this. Children don't have to have these problems. Families don't have to live this way. There's a way out.
Mm. And what's the best website we should send people to for?
Yeah, the best one would be ADHDdiet.org, ADHDdiet.org.
Okay, great.
You'll find loads of information.
Thanks, Jane. Have
Thank
a
you.
Good holiday.
Thank you.
Jane.
Have a great Easter.
All right, thanks.
Thanks, Martin.
All right, bye.
Bye.
Ah, well, it's amazing, isn't it?
It is. I mean, it's just really quite disturbing, the things that are in our foods today, the junk that kids are eating, and the fact that none of this really is being regulated. And people are not being protected. So it just really absolutely underscores the need to be on it yourself, to be self-empowered, to understand what are you eating, what are your kids eating.
We've seen enough times that industry is not going to come forward and say, yes, we're doing practices that aren't ideally healthy for you. Yes, we don't have your interest at heart at all. I mean, they're not going to tell us that, so people need to know for themselves.
No.
I'm on this school-lunch.org site, and it's very interesting just seeing $10 billion a year spent on advertising for some of this junk food, and that Americans consume. How much soda do you think the average American consumes in a year?
10 gallons, 20 gallons, I don't know.
44 gallons.
Soda?
Soda. I mean, I can't remember the last time I've had a can of soda.
Well, this show and all past shows of Reality Sandwich are available for free download at realitysandwichradio.com. This show has been all about artificial ingredients and understanding the stuff that's in our foods and what our kids are eating, and particularly with Easter coming up, the absolute need to be aware of the stuff that we're consuming and how it affects our behavior and our health, and especially the health of our children.
Absolutely. You have been listening to Reality Sandwich, a palatable taste of the truth, coming to you every Thursday on your noontime hour. And we will be back next Thursday on more topics of ways to be healthy and happy and take good care and empower yourselves. You have been listening to KPOO San Francisco 89.5 FM. Remember, all change begins with you. Whoa!